Am I on? Is it live or is it Memorex? Some of the old school folks will get that. So
it's definitely old school.
Old school. Old school. Amen. Hallelujah. We had a good time last week.
Amen.
Just kind of soaking in the presence of God, and it's always good to have those times of refreshing. Amen. Let's look at Mark chapter 4. Y'all turn there to Mark chapter 4. Mark chapter 4. We're going to talk about the soil types tonight. And it's, you know, we were hearing some testimonies earlier, and it blesses me because the word talks about forgetting all of his benefits, right? And that's why the Hebrews would go and they would stop a certain place, and God would say, create an altar here. Well, is it really for God or is it for you, them, to remind themselves of what God did? Because what happened? People would walk by and they would see that, and it would be a testimony to them, wouldn't it? So, you know, these things are testimonies to us, and they remind us of God's faithfulness. And I think it's very important for us to be led by the Spirit, because sometimes we can see circumstances are not always necessarily God's will, are they? Right? You know, the devil can create circumstances. He can send people along. He can create things that look like it's the right thing. They sound like a really good idea, but in the long run, could be destructive. And so, but tonight, let's talk about, you know, holding on to some of these truths we do have. And you build your spirit, man, by again, the word and through prayer. And then what happens is, when you do come to a situation, it's like, for example, anything that we do in life, we're all aware of this, you don't prepare for the test at the test date, right? Remember, you know, those of you who have taken any tests, or, you know, in school or anything else, you don't show up to the class to prepare for the test, right? You prepare before you get there. And what is the test? The test should reflect what you have in you. Do you understand? Did you, right? So the test score reflects whether or not you understand the material. And so we prepare before we get there. I don't get to the bank to decide, am I going to steal the money or not, right? I make the decision before I get there, hello, right? I don't show up to work and go, well, should I embezzle some money this week? Should I steal somebody's personal identification this week? Should I do this? No, I make the decision before I get to work, right? So it's not a test. I'm already prepared. I'm already, you know, ready for when I do, when temptation does come along, I'm ready for it, right? When the devil comes along, he's not a shock. That's not a surprise. He's going to come. When Jesus said there in Luke chapter 4, when right after he rose out of the water, John the Baptist brought him up, and the Holy Spirit, as the image of a dove, came upon him. After that, the devil led him into the Holy Spirit led him into the wilderness, and there he met the devil. Now, is it bad to be tempted? Is it bad to be tempted? No, it's not bad to be tempted, because we're all going to experience temptation. Because if temptation was bad, then Christ was wrong, because Christ got tempted. And the key is, when Jesus, after he defeated him in the wilderness, it says the devil left him for what? A season. So what does that mean? The devil's going to come back to tempt you. And how is the temptation going to come? He's going to see what's in you. And you know what? The nice thing is, temptation can be good, because what it is, encourages you, because we always think as if it's a bad thing. But temptation can actually build your faith. And when you're done with temptation, you sit back and say, see, I defeated the devil. Instead of looking at it as a bad thing, we can look at it as an opportunity to strengthen our faith and to move on. And so we see here in Mark chapter 4, verse 3, and it says, this is not the King James, but it says, listen, a farmer decided to sow some grain. As he scattered it across his field, some fell on the path, and the birds came and picked it up off the hard ground and ate it. Some fell on thin soil with underlying rock. It grew up quickly enough, but soon withered beneath the hot sun and died, because the roots had no nourishment in the shallow soil. Verse 7, other seeds fell among thorns that shot up and crowded the young plants so that they produced no grain. And in verse 8, but some of the seeds fell onto good soil and they yielded 30 times and as much as it had planted, some even 60 and or 100 times as much if you have ears to listen. So the Lord is saying here, you know, there's a seed. And let's look at verse 14 because Jesus explains this parable, doesn't he? Right? The cool thing about Jesus, you always know about religious people and you know about people who love God. Religious people try to complicate things, right? They try to put you in boxes. They try to, have some kind of superior knowledge. Nobody can understand this but me, and I'm so intellectual and blah, blah, blah. And other people that are like Jesus just do things simple, right? He says, see that farmer up there? He's just grabbing a handful of seed. He's throwing it out. And that seed's landing everywhere. It's landing on good, you know, he's going through all those other things. And Jesus is so good. Because I was like this too. If, some people, I've been in school before and some of my professors in the past, you know, they think that they're so smart, all this information they have. Well, you're only as good a teacher if your students get something from you, right? If your students and pupils don't walk away with anything, you have absolutely failed. I've had a few of those professors in the past, right? You were like, okay, you are purposely trying to do things here so that you've got an ego problem and nobody's getting it. Forget it. I'll read the text myself. I'll do my own research and I'll pull it out. I'll do my own research. I don't need you. I just need to get the credit and get out of here. But Jesus is a great teacher. Why? Because he makes things so simple. And it says, verse 14, the farmer I talked about is anyone who brings God's message to others trying to plant good seed within their lives. So we know the seed is the word of God, right? That is perfect. The seed is not bad. This seed is perfect. So we know there's nothing wrong with the seed because people come back and go, well, there's bad seed. There's this, there's that. Maybe that's why it didn't grow, right? No. Everybody have, remember being in sports, you know, things like that. You'd play baseball and everything. And, well, there's something wrong with the baseball. Probably not. Nothing wrong with the baseball, right? Well, there's something wrong with my glove. Let me take a look at it. Well, the stitching is fine. Everything, you know, we're blaming it. Well, it's the bat's fault. You know, I remember guys I'd play with, you know, well, that bat, it just isn't. Well, there's no dents in it. There's no hole in that bat. Probably operator error, right? Right? So there's nothing wrong with the seed. He goes on and he says, the hard pathway where some of the seed fell represents the hard hearts of some of those who hear God's message. And Satan comes at once to try to make them forget it. Verse 16, the rocky soil represents the hearts of those who hear the message with joy. But like young plants in such soil, their roots don't go very deep. And though at first they got along fine, as soon as persecution begins, they wilt. Verse 18, the thorny ground represents the hearts of people who listen to God's news and receive it. But all too quickly, the attractions of this world and the delights of wealth and the search for success and lure of nice things come in and crowd out God's message from the hearts. So there is no crop which is produced. So what can we say that on these three soil types are going to come? Well, we're going to see, number one, hard heart, right? We're going to see people who have, you know, experienced bad things. Have you ever been around those people before that are just like Eeyore, you know, off of Winnie the Pooh? You know, everything's awful, right? You know, oh, it's a sunny day. Not for very long, right? You ever those people, right? I just got paid. Everything's going to bills, right? I got this new car. Oh, it'll probably get crashed. Oh, look, you just had another baby. Oh, all this expenses that comes with a new kid, right? There's always a downside to everything, right? You know, those people that just have a little cloud over their head. There are just some people, it just doesn't matter what, I mean, I was coming in life. There are just some people they're not going to get happy, okay? Unless they get a lightning bolt from the Holy Ghost to zap them and just do a work on them. They're just not going to be very happy. So again, some people, and others, they heard the word, and then Satan came along and stole it from their heart, right? And that comes back to, you can hear a message, and everybody, you know, I remember, being down at Rhema, and you're sitting there believing for finances or something or whatever, and then, you know, we're going, oh, God's going to supply all of our needs, and then we got our credit card information ripped off, right? We had identity theft, so somebody jacked up our card out of sight. They tried to take $16,000, overdrew $16,000 from our checking account, which we didn't have $16,000 at the time. It was like, well, good luck with that. It's like, joke's on you. But, here we are. We're believing God and everything, and it's like all of a sudden, it's like we get a statement. It's like, oh, we're $16,000 overdrawn. It's like, well, I don't remember writing checks. And I'm like, Adrian, can you tell me what's going on here? but you're believing, and then what happens? Those circumstances come along, right? You hear about faith, you hear about finances, you hear about, you know, God wants to provide our needs, and then something like that comes along. You're tempted to give up at that point, right? You're tempted to say, I remember Brother Hagin saying that he was at a church one time preaching in one of the churches he was at, and it was just a great meeting, and all these these people came up, and this guy was just shouting about how God is, you know, we're going to move the mountain and everything else too. And he said, later his wife told him, he says, when we got in the car, we were driving home from church, and I told him, we need to get little Susie a new pair of shoes. And he says, he about fell out of the car. He goes, I'm not made of money. Where are we going to get the money from that? It's like, we just had the devil steal the word from our heart, right? See, we're shouting and jumping in church. And then when the rubber meets the road and the pressure comes, see, the devil is good about pressure, yeah, right? Yeah. If you're doctors, I always like that too. You're going to feel a little pressure here. That's buzzword for look out, right? Buckle up, buddy. Here it comes. But anyway, so the devil brings a little pressure along, right? To try to get you to step off that, right? Something that looks a little better or tries to bring something along. And what happens? The word says here, Jesus says that people give up on the word and they leave. Things become bad. Pressure comes along. We've seen a lot of pressure last year and a half, haven't we? Right? The devil's wanting to bring a lot of pressure along, right? I think a lot of people in this have actually prospered, right, over the last 18 months. Mm-hmm. Amen? I don't believe that's a coincidence. Because I know a lot of people, and I've dealt with a lot of people, that have lost their jobs through all of this stuff. And they're coming to me like, hey, I need some money. I need to do something here. Right? And, you know, some of those people that I've some of my clients I've dealt with, you know, have to turn a counselor hat on and help people because they're broken, right? Yeah. I was at this place 20, 30 years, and I lost my job. I was doing this and blah, blah, and I lost my job, right? One lady I talked to, she was in Texas when all the flooding happened here, you know, a few months back. While I'm talking to her, she's like, I have no air conditioning. I have no power. My food is going bad. I lost my job. I mean, it was just like one thing after another, right? And another guy I talked to said that he lost his job. His son got killed within a couple weeks after that. He lost his house. I mean, it was just thing after thing after thing. And I was like, I couldn't believe it, you know? And so, you know, it looks like we've got every opportunity to blame God. And again, like the Lord says here, hey, there's an opportunity for us to abandon the word because of circumstances coming our way, right? Now, again, sometimes we make our own bed and we do dumb things. I've done that, right? I've done and said dumb things or don't ask Adrian because we don't need testimonies here tonight. But anyway, we'll keep moving on here. But the point is you do and you say dumb things, you've done dumb things, but we're not talking about that. We're just saying sometimes life just happens to you, right? I mean, it doesn't, not that you're looking for trouble or making things. It just, situations come. And then, for example, you hear the word, you walk outside, and then all of a sudden, you forget about it. Yeah. You live. And I don't remember, you know, who was talking earlier about, you know, our life is what comes out of us, right? I always like to think of it this way. When the pressure comes, we're like a big tube of toothpaste. Yeah. Whatever's in us is going to come out, right? The pressure is going to push out whatever is in us. It's just going to come out, mm-hmm. right? So, you know, we'll get a van load of people, like, for example, tonight, if we got a van load of people and we rolled the van, we're going to see what's going to come out of people's mouth in the process, right? Hello? Whoops. Help me, Jesus, right? But again, it's just things happen, you know. How are you going to react? And so then Jesus goes on here and says, verse 20, it says, but the good soil represents the hearts of those who truly accept God's message and produce a plentiful harvest for God. Again, 30, 60, or even 100 times as much as was planted in their hearts, right? So let me just back up here. We'll close because but I want you to think of this, and I don't think anybody's really talked about this before. We talk about things like, for example, the good seed is the word of God, and the soil is our heart, right? The receptor. Now, interestingly enough, the Lord says that we are those who have good soil produce 30, 60, or even 100 times as much as was planted in their hearts. So that means the plant we are producing and it's growing. What does a plant have to withstand? You know, we were just driving here tonight, this afternoon, coming to church, and we saw the cornfields. You know, it's harvest time, right? Some of it's up, some of it's been taken, right? What did those plants endure? Well, they endured wind. They endured rain. They may have endured, hail. Maybe they endured flooding. Maybe, especially this year, a lot of plants, we dealt with drought. So there was a lack of rain. So, you know, there is so much revelation in this statement Jesus is talking about, the producing the fruit, is because plants, and by the time a plant produces fruit, that plant has endured a lot to get to a position where they can produce fruit or some kind of crop. And we see here, especially in Iowa, this time of season, we see all of these crops that have endured until the end, haven't they? Mm-hmm. And so if you are someone, like the Lord says here in verse 20, someone that has produced 30, 60, and 100 fold, not only has your heart, you have made a decision to keep your heart right, but you endured a lot of things to get there, guys.
Yeah, that's right.
Amen? You are an absolute walking testimony, like we just heard tonight.
Amen.
To see yourself produce fruit, you have withstood temptation, and you've withstood elements that have been trying to attack you from producing something.
Amen.
Amen? And to see what kind of a miracle you really are and what God has done and brought you through is tremendous.
Amen.
And so, you know, we see all kinds of excuses for people that, again, we've got to, because, like I said before, I call it eternal perspective. We've got to have an eternal perspective. The Word of God is an eternal perspective. The Word of God places us in position. The Apostle Paul says that we are just like a vapor, right? We're here one minute and we're gone the next. And every day I look and I'm like, that is so true. We are here and eventually we're going to be gone if the Lord tarries, right? So what does that mean? There's production. We're producing something for God. And, you know, I've been with quite a few people on their deathbed, and they don't talk about things like, oh, I wish I would have made more money. Oh, I wish I, you know, wish I would have, built this or done this or anything else. They're wanting to see the people that are close to them, right? And then they reevaluate their lives on how did I produce for God? How is this pleasing for Him? What's the next life going to do, right? Because when you're on your deathbed, or your funerals, you examine an eternal perspective, right? And and I know some of us here are financially minded also, but more people spend more time on their, well, actually it's like this. Most people spend more time on their vacation than they do their investments, their retirement, and they spend even less time on eternal things. Most people do, right? They're more interested in Disneyland than they are their retirement, and they're more interested in their retirement than they are eternal things, how they're going to spend their eternity, right? Because that's all subjective, and we don't really, you know, that's, I mean, I'm just going to end up where I'm going to end up. But when you're in your deathbed, it's a different story, mm-hmm. right? I've seen absolute hellion, just crazy people on their deathbed crying like babies because they don't know where they're going to end up. That's okay. We're going to take care of it right now. So just rest. And then to see something supernaturally after they get born again on their deathbed and to see their face. I mean, I can see it in the spirit realm. They're absolutely transforming before my eyes in the spirit realm. You can see it on them. I mean, if you've got any kind of spiritual sense, you can see it often. You can see the transformation right then and there. They're born again, but their expression changes. There is something about them changes. You know, I was in a room one time. I don't know, I'm getting up on this, but I prayed for somebody. And I've had a number of experiences where I prayed for people and literally they're gone within an hour or within 5 hours. So it's within a few hours they died. And one person that I was there, I prayed for, and it came back. And as they died, the peace of God filled the room. It was like, it was supernatural because you could tell where when I walked in the room, there was tension. You could tell there was a spiritual battle going on between this person's eternity. As I prayed and as he got born again, you sense the peace of God just fill the room. And then when he died, it was wonderful. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's a shame that he couldn't live for God, but the point is, it's we're soil, guys. Mm-hmm. And what Jesus talks about here, let me just say this, the people who give up that are not good soil, they're not eternal minded, right? It's the now. It's the, I feel uncomfortable. It's, I feel the pressure. The people that are good soil, they're in it to win it, right? I remember people before, you know, at work and some other things, and I've been around people before, and they're like, how you doing today? Hey, man. And like I tell people at work sometimes, or wherever I'm at, we'll be talking about different things. We'll be in meetings, and they'll say, what do you think? I said, hey, all I know is I'm in it to win it, right? I'm in it to win it. We're going to do it. Are you going to do it? You got to be good soil. So it doesn't matter what comes down the pipeline. I'm sticking with God, and I'm sticking with the Word. That's what Jesus says here. And anybody that produces fruit, you're going to have scars. You're going to have battle wounds, and that comes with the territory, right? Anybody in the spirit realm that has seen any kind of warring angels, they're not cutie pies, right? They have big scars. They're talking about their armor has big, deep gouges and everything because they're fighters. They're fighting for you and they're fighting for me. They are on assignment for us. And God has those angels. It says in the Word that he has sent out angels for the heirs of salvation to fight for us. Those of us who are good ground, we are going to have scars. We're going to have things come up. And I know I'm not the TV evangelist. Everybody's going to feel good. You're wonderful, cute, and have puppy feelings, fluffy happiness. Okay? God does bring us joy, right? And we can have joy in the midst of the fight, in the midst of the trial, in the midst of these things. We can still have peace. Over the last year and a half, nothing has gotten me off of that. Like, I have not been upset about anything, right? Amen. I mean, if Elijah, God can use ravens to send meals on wheels to Elijah, then he'll get the goods to me, right? If God can use drones called ravens to get the meals to Elijah, then he'll get something to me and he'll get something to you, right? Why is it? Because I'm good ground. That means I'm withstanding the pressure to stay on God's side. Amen? And when you do, you're going to reap a reward. We heard it tonight. We're seeing people. I mean, Carol had a great testimony. I mean, Wednesday, she was just sharing that, just about how she got the exemption Amen? And, you know, she's willing to sacrifice her job for what she believes in. That's the good ground, right? I'm going to stand planted, and nothing is going to move me. Amen. My situation will change before I change. Mm-hmm. That's a good ground, right? Everything around me will change. See, Jesus didn't cower to his elements. His elements cowered to him, mm-hmm. right? When he stepped up on the scene, death did not exist. He changed situations. Everything changed and conformed to what he said, what came out of his mouth, his lifestyle, what was in him came out. Everything changed. And everybody wanted to touch and be around him. Amen? And so, like with us, good ground, things change around us. We're producing fruit. We withstand the elements and the pressure that comes against us, right? Not only does fruit, but you see things like the corn. I mean, how many hunters we have in here, right? So, you know, the deer come along and they eat the fruit or the corn or whatever. They're eating these things. So all of these things are coming against you. And you know what? If you're good ground, you are a testimony in of yourself. Amen. Father, we thank you tonight for these precious people. Lord God, I speak over all these people that they are good ground, that I am good ground, that everyone here is good ground, Lord God, that we are going to produce 30, 60, and 100-fold. And God, we thank you that our fruit is increasing on this church, Lord. We thank you for it, Lord. I speak blessings over these people tonight, those who sow seeds into the kingdom, Lord. I pray, Lord, tonight, those who are tithing and givers, that they are blessed in the name of Jesus. Lord, we thank you that they are financially blessed, Lord God, in the name of Jesus. We thank you that it is coming back to them, good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over, shall come into their bosom, Lord. We thank you for it, Lord Jesus. God, we speak blessings in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Father. Yes, let's go ahead.